Welcome to your Spiritual Besties podcast. I'm Lauren Ledoux.
And I'm Rashida McCoy. We're here to laugh, cry, learn, and connect with you.
We discuss anything and everything from our everyday lives to the magical, mystical, and woo-woo.
So take a deep breath, grab a cup of tea,
and set an intention to receive, because you deserve it, bestie. Hello, Rashida.
Hey, Lauren. How are you?
I'm doing pretty good today.
I just got a shower, so that's already a win.
Listen up, people. Showers are a real thing. It doesn't just start with the newborn phase. It goes all the way through.
Yeah, it is like that. It's like the math that I have to do to be able to shower is kind of crazy. But yeah, we've been, you know, it's summer. We've been like doing all kinds of hikes and swimming and trying to catch minnows in the lake and, you know, just getting filthy every single day. So.
Yeah, you can't do that like, smell check, I'm good. No, definitely yeah. Need a shower every day. Yeah.
I know I'm not. So
that's so funny.
Yeah, anyway, yeah.
Same thing here.
Right now.
Yeah, we have, so I took our big pool down, because it was just too much to manage. Like Daniel helps me with like the heavy lifting, but when it's like a project that I want, he's like, that's all you, boo. And I'm like, all right, but the pool is too big to manage. So we're getting I have a smaller pool to set up, but there's like buckets and stuff that I didn't realize that were behind the thing. And there, yeah, we have like so many tadpoles in there, and we had tadpoles in the pool. So yeah, the kids have been like playing in that. I've been having to like stop Miles from like putting his hands in his mouth after he's like interacted with all these things. He loves touching bugs, but he's not the gentlest creature with them. And I feel so bad. But yeah, same ditto. It's like shower time every single day, but it's cool. It's cleanliness is a thing. Yeah.
I was going to tell you, and we have a guest today, so we don't want to talk too long, but I was going to tell you just because I thought of you when I saw it. There's this like trend of putting ponds in your backyard, but you kind of set them up in such a way that they clean themselves and you can swim in them. So it's like a natural swimming pool.
How about I already have a Pinterest board for that, and I am all about it. I have been looking into that for the past year, Lauren. You know me so well.
Oh, that's funny. That's funny. I saw those. I'm like, oh, this would be so cool for Rashida's property because it's not really something like we would need to put in our backyard, you know, since there's a lake there. But it would be like such a great balance of having a place to swim, but also like, you know, supporting your natural environment and wildlife. Yes. And yeah.
Okay. That's just affirmation. Okay. I need to get on it. This is on my 5-year plan.
That's awesome. I love it. Well, let's shift gears and bring our guest on today. So today we have with us Kirsten Stockton, and she's a certified intuitive and Reiki master. And Kirsten is an intuitive coach, energy reader, and healer, and Reiki master. Her purpose is to activate a remembering of your soul so you can live a beautiful and purposeful life that reflects you and your essence. Kirsten was a trial attorney for 10 years before she found her way home to soul and energy work. She lives in the Los Angeles area with her two little girls, husband of 13 years, and rescue black lab. And just full disclosure, Kirsten is also a member of our little coven, the Coven of the Sun. So we're so excited to just get on here and get to know her on a deeper level today and share her wonderfulness with you. So welcome, Kirsten. We're so happy
welcome,
to have you.
Welcome, Kirsten.
Thank you for having me, you guys. I'm so excited to be here with you.
Yeah, we're going to see where this goes today. We're excited for that. And to start off, as always on this podcast, we want to ask, what is spirituality to you?
Oof. Okay. Well, so I'm going to try to keep this short in some abbreviated way. I grew up in a religious family. And so spirituality to me really is all about connection. And so when I was growing up, you know, I went through the kind of traditional like Catholic upbringing. I went to Sunday school and I went to, I had my communion and all of these things. And I always felt so disconnected through that journey. And I felt like the stories that I was given through that for me just didn't work. They didn't work. And I felt disconnected from myself. I felt disconnected from the world. And so I was always seeking something to help me feel connected. And I grew up in the Pacific Northwest. I live in LA now, but the Pacific Northwest is so lush and beautiful, and nature really is like the playground. And so for me, nature brought that connection. It brought that spirituality into my life. And so for me, spirituality is really about connecting with self, connecting with the world around us. And for me, that's truly through nature and people, animals, plants, all of everything that's basically filling our world. To me, that's what spirituality is.
That's beautiful. I feel like connection is like that key piece when we think about spirituality.
Yeah, it is. I think that that to me was like the hugest like breakthrough. It was like, this is what it means to be spiritual. Look, spirituality to me is not like segregating religion and spirituality. Like they can go hand in hand. It's really about finding your own connection, you know? And so for me, I just wasn't drawn to the connection that I was being taught. That didn't work for me. And so really like honoring yourself in that process too, and finding what connects you personally, I think is such a part of the journey to understand yourself and really like be able to be in tune with what it is that speaks to your heart, what works for you. So maybe it is, you know, a different format, but for me, that's what brought me connection, was that just really thinking about life and how we're all so connected in different ways that we can't even see the layers, but we can feel them. And so for me, that's really what it is, that connection part.
Yeah, I really love that, because you, you know, said it's not, spirituality and religion isn't like separated. It's just what fits for you. And I think that's really important. We're going to have a, by the time this airs, we'll have had an episode that came out that we had a really great conversation around kind of something like that. But, you know, you seeing that earlier on and like just noticing that, you know, hey, this doesn't really work for me, but what is it? What can I tune into and tap into? You also stated that you were a lawyer. Is that what you said? So can we talk about that? I mean, I know that was a lot of schooling. Yeah. I know that's like it's like almost a whole different life. So let's get into that a little bit.
Yeah, let's hit the rewind button. Yes. So I was raised in a traditional family, kind of like what I touched upon. I was raised around religion. I was raised in a family that had like profession as their career. So both of my parents were attorneys. My grandfather was an attorney, and several generations before him were also attorneys. And so I am at least the fourth generation attorney in my family. So I was the firstborn, you know, firstborn grandchild and all of those things. And so, you know, growing up, that was part of my life. You know, being in a courtroom was my life. I grew up in a supply room and then in the courtroom. And, you know, that was something that I experienced on a, you know, daily basis. And, you know, as the firstborn, I think that it's very natural for a lot of families to say, hey, look, we've done this forever. We know what it looks like. It's worked for us. It should work for you. And, you know, for a long time, I actually really resisted that. I resisted that conversation. But ultimately, I really felt like I didn't know myself well enough, and I didn't have someone to say, hey, look, just because someone else is doing this, you know, coming back to what works for you and versus what works for everybody else, I didn't have someone say, look, just because it works for them doesn't mean it's going to work for you. Doesn't mean that that's what you're meant to do. That doesn't mean that's what you're going to love to do. They might love it and it might fit them, but it doesn't mean that it's going to fit you. So I struggled for a while, but ultimately not having that kind of support or that place to look, I did what probably a lot of people do. They did what their family, kind of says or guides you to do. And that's what I did. So I went to law school. I did go to business school before. That was kind of my I'm rebelling against this lawyer thing, and I'm going to try a little bit of the middle path and, go for business school and see what happens. But of course, I was still wandering after business school where I'm like, where am I supposed to land in life? And, the continual conversation. And so I went to law school. Yes, it is no short commitment, and took the bar and practiced law for 10 years. And so I was a business attorney. I was in the courtroom. I tried cases and took depositions and did all the things that lawyers do in a courtroom. And the universe gifted me 2020. At the time it really was, a difficult kind of, reality, because I was at home. My girls were 2 and 3. So I'm a mom. They're now 7 and 6, but they're 2 and 3. And so the world was a little different. I was used to going to the office and working my full-time hours, and they were going to daycare, and I, was head, down in the sand at work. And so then all of a sudden, when the universe put everybody in check, it was like, hey, nope, we're gonna stop right here, right now. And you're going to be at home. You're going to be at home with your girls. Your husband's job is going to, come to a pause. Your job's going to come to a pause. And you're going to have to sit with yourself and really reflect on what's happening. In motherhood had brought up a lot of different things. My first was born in 2017, so a couple years before the pandemic. And so there was definitely things that were stirring inside. There was this kind of slow growing inside of me, but there was no space in my life at that point. I had not created space. I had not allowed space to be part of my conversation. I was filling my life with busyness. I was busy at my job. I was busy with social activities, and I just had no spaciousness to sit with myself and give myself time to really know who I was and know what I wanted. And so when 2020 rolled around and, I basically was gifted this opportunity to sit with myself and understand how I got here. How did I end up making these decisions? Why did I end up making these decisions? Were these decisions my own, or were they for some other reason? And so that's where the deep dive really started to happen. I had kind of a couple months before that learned to meditate, or been trained to meditate with a Vedic meditation instructor. And so I was starting to dabble in that a little bit. And when we were at home, I was really in that self-reflection. I was really in that place of, I need to figure out who I am, what I'm doing, and what I'm supposed to be doing. And that's where this healing journey really started. I didn't plan to land here. I didn't plan to, become a certified intuitive or leave the law or do all of the things that have happened since that point. It really was a starting point of just me. I needed to reconnect with myself and understand who I was. And that's what the universe gave me in 2020, was that opportunity to do that.
Thank you so much for sharing.
You speak on a couple of things that we have seen come up in ourselves and in our guests kind of over and over, which is, when the pandemic obviously shook things up for a lot of people. And two, motherhood. Both of these things are just identity shattering, and then you're left to figure out who you are, without all of the trappings of programming, of family of, you know, what we believed before. So I like how you put it, that it was an opportunity for you, because I think oftentimes when our world feels like it's crashing down, it's really hard to see it in that way. But when I look back at every instance of something that honestly felt like horrible at the time, there was some sort of gift in it, you know? So I do really love how you put that. And, you know, we, Rashida and I, we had the privilege of meeting you about a year and a half ago while you're still in this transformative journey. And I think you had like just quit your job. And we're in the midst of this identity shift. And at the same time, you had this like clear gift that was coming through. So it was really like an honor to be able to witness that yes. in you. And I was excited to connect. You gave me a reading a couple of weeks ago.
Me too.
Which I need to re-listen to. And I'd love to know, so from Soul Reading Method, which is where we all learned our intuitive methods, to now, like, what has really become your specialty, I guess? What ways do you like to serve your clients best?
Yeah. Well, thank you for that. Such kind words. Yeah, it's, you know, this is a remembering. We're always in a remembering state. And, you know, people have, you know, asked me, well, did you always know? Like, is this something that you have always had? Or, you know, how did we go from this place to this place, right? Like that jump, kind of like what Rashida is talking about, like lawyer, here we are. And really the biggest piece, and this is, I think, to me, one of the greatest gifts that I can give to my clients is this self-reflection point. And so these are things that we have, that we've always had. And, you know, in the work that I have done, not only on a, you know, soul level, but also on a human level, I have been able to see that these are things that I came into this life with. And as I, you know, went through life, you know, being raised by my parents and going to college and meeting people and all the experiences that we have over the course of our lives, we build up all these different experiences. And so those experiences can influence how we navigate our life. You know, we have free will. We have this opportunity to take these roads and these paths and allow them to guide us, teach us, direct us, whatever that might be. But ultimately, every soul's journey is to come back to this place of remembering. And it's a matter of time and when, you know, and we have this, you know, grand scale of time in our, you know, human existence of, you know, I'm 40 or I'm, you know, 50, whatever it is, but it's not so linear, you know, out in the different planes. It's different. It's fluid. It's happening at all times. But I think that, you know, to materialize it here, there is a point in our lives that we come to that we are meant to begin to remember what we came here for. And how our journey and our path and our experiences and the people that we have come across in our life have built up this, essentially like this story, this book that we are meant to turn back the chapters and read it again and understand the meaning, the messages, everything that was building up to this point. And so I was always a highly sensitive child. And so that's a term now that's, you know, very fluid and used often and, you know, neurodivergent, highly sensitive, intuitive. These are all terms that, you know, I think nowadays are more commonly used and they're more commonly acceptable. But, you know, I'm 41. So when I was, you know, growing up, it's funny, I was talking to mom about this. The word was like indigo child, right? Like you're an indigo child. And so you might have these like intuitive abilities, and but it was like a rare, you know, more a rare occurrence in everybody's mind. It certainly was happening, but maybe people weren't talking about it, or there was different labels for it, where it was like, you're an indigo child, where now it's like highly sensitive, right? That is a more common term that's used. And so I was always like a big feeler, a big emotional person, a big feeler. But I could never understand, and I didn't have someone that understood to explain to me what was happening. And so it was something that I actually closed myself off from, because it was something that it wasn't celebrated. It wasn't, you know, honored, and it wasn't understood, or it was misunderstood. And so, you know, I kind of separated myself from that piece of myself. And so, you know, I move through life. I become attorney. I go to business school. I, you know, have the professional jobs, all of the things. And those all enriched my experience and had a deep lesson, you know, that on the other side, I can now reflect back on and understand what it was. But it's not like it went, it's not like I didn't have it. It might have just gone missing. It might have been shadowed. It might have been hidden, but it was always there. And so what I really love to work on with clients is exactly this. And it might not be the same as mine. My story is my story. Your story is your story. We all have different experiences, but I can say the commonality is that we all do have this beautiful purpose. We all have these beautiful lessons that we're here to learn and gain. And uncovering what those are is what I do. It's what I love to do. It's what I did. And to me, the journey, that's the beautiful part, is the journey along the way. You know, the destination, of course, is this, you know, beautiful place of knowing, but the journey is where the richness is. It's where the true beauty lies, even the hardships. You know, there's a lot of hardships that we have that we go through. And in the moment, you can't see with clarity what that is for. You can't understand. You can't, you know, connect to that moment to say, wow, you know, this is really something that I'm going to walk away and understand and learn from. No, it's hard. Motherhood. I mean, that's every day, right? Like every day in motherhood, we're challenged. And I truly think becoming a mother is a courageous act. It takes a lot of courage to be a mother, because you are constantly faced with these pieces and there's no turning away from it. And so I truly think that is something that I can bring to my experience with my clients, because I've been there. I'm still there, you know, we're always healing. We're always learning and evolving and growing. So, you know, that's what I would say I love to do with clients. I really love to dig down and go back into that journey. And that can go as far back as this lifetime and, you know, prior lifetimes, and understanding how that all comes together and is integrated into the here and now and what's happening.
Yeah. Thank you so much for sharing that. And you said something, you said, you know, the choice of becoming a mother is a very courageous act. And I agree with you, but I think sometimes some of us don't even know just how big of an act that is. And I know that was for me, like stepping into motherhood, I did not realize how much of myself would be stripped away. And I also think, so those that don't think of that as the choice, or know that that's what's going to happen, like moving through it with compassion and love for not only your precious baby that put this in front of you, but yourself, is also a huge courageous act as well. Thank you for sharing, Kirsten.
Yeah. I agree with Rashida, and thanks for pointing that out. Kirsten, I just realized while you're talking that We have never talked about Reiki on this podcast before, which is so weird, right? Because it feels like that's everybody's like entry point into energy work and energy healing. That was like my entry point. Yeah. I'm a Reiki master. I don't like practice on clients regularly, but I do when it comes up, or I do it on myself or my kid. Mm-hmm. And it's such a lovely tool. I would love to like pick your brain a little bit about that, and then we can talk more about readings and all of that as well, and maybe how they infuse into each other for you. I've done combined Reiki and readings, and that has been a really cool experience. So I just, on a personal level, I want to know like how you combine the two. But yeah, can you tell us what Reiki is, how you use it, and then maybe how you also incorporate it into your readings?
Yeah. Well, I'm the same. Reiki was like the entry point for me. And so I was, you know, kind of going to this wellness studio, and I had, you know, kind of heard of Reiki, but really, you know, wasn't super aware of like all of the, you know, what goes into it and, you know, kind of the overall history and process. And so I actually received, you know, Reiki from someone. I was like, wow, like I was so astonished how amazing I felt after I had received this session. And so I felt really called to it. And so like I processed it for a while. Like I was really like the night that I went home, you know, she was like, hey, look, this is going to take some integration, you know, be gentle with yourself. And, you know, we say this to clients as well, as like drink water, be gentle with yourself. You know, whatever is being stirred up is meant to come up and, you know, be, you know, fleshed out and processed. And I made a huge journal entry on this, but it was like that night, like I went to bed and I remember, and I felt like fireworks literally went off inside of my body. Like everything was exploding in like the best way. It was like, wow, I just felt sensations. I felt just my emotions on a, you know, deeper level. Like everything just became so much brighter. Like the vitality in my body was like coming online. And so I was like, this is incredible. And so I kept being drawn back to Reiki, which I think a lot of people are, that this is like that kind of middle, you know, comfort place when you jump into energy work and receiving readings and things like that. And so I was just like, I feel like I need to do this. And so I reached out to someone and I was like, hey, I'm really interested in getting my, you know, Reiki certification. And so there's a couple, you know, steps to get to Reiki Master, and then you can also become Reiki Master Teacher. So there's a level one Reiki practitioner, and there's a level two Reiki practitioner, there's Reiki Master and Reiki Master Teacher. And so I was like, I feel like I just need to at least explore the first level and see, you know, what's happening, because the first level is about self-practice. So you're practicing on yourself, you're understanding the principles behind Reiki, the history, the different symbols, and you're deepening your understanding and your connection with source and energy. And so I was like, I feel like I just need to explore this. So I did. And I was, once again, you know, we go through, you know, the term, you know, that we consistently talk about, these upgrades or these different kind of processes that happen when we have these different experiences. But essentially, you know, what I would explain this to be is that old energy is falling away. You know, it's dispelling out of my system and new energy is being brought in. That's what an upgrade essentially is. And I know that term is kind of often used in the spiritual world, but that's basically what's happening. And so when I went through the first level, just like every level, you get this attunement is what they call it. And so you and your channel is basically opened up to universal source energy. That is kind of the connection that we have in Reiki, is connecting to universal life source energy. And that energy is moving and present in everything. It's present in the trees, it's present in the wind, animals, humans, we're all energy, right? It's hard sometimes to understand, but, and you can't see it, but we all are made up of energy. And that's what Reiki is about. It's about connecting to that universal life force energy. And so they attune you, they open up your channel, and they invite that energy in. And so with each attunement, that energy expands. And so your connection continues to expand. And so when I did my first level, I just, once again, that, you know, kind of firework feeling, that expansiveness inside of me continued to grow. And I felt very drawn to the practice. So I continued on. And so I did my second attunement and my Reiki Master attunement. And with each practice, once again, you expand your connection, you learn new symbols that connect you to different life force energy. And you're able to use that in your everyday life. Because once again, Reiki is this life force energy that is around us. So I use it in my everyday life. You can use it as simple as like blessing your website. You know, if you want to like go on like a business level, I use it with my kids when they don't want to go to sleep and they're feeling restless. And I know that maybe they brought something home from school or there's something that they're carrying around with them that they haven't been able to discharge or dispel out of them. And so I will offer a little bit of Reiki on them when they're, you know, trying to settle down, get ready for bed. I use it on myself. You know, I'm an empath. I'm, you know, constantly, you know, picking up energy and have to keep my boundaries. But look, it happens where we begin to carry our own emotions or something else happens. And so I use it on myself as well. And for clients, you can do like a direct reading or, you know, healing session, but I also use it in just kind of my regular reading practice because it is that deeper connection with source. And so when I'm in a reading with someone and I see maybe there's kind of a block that's happening in their energy or some sort of stagnation, I just will connect with that life force energy and invite it into their system to help, you know, move things out and clear it and cleanse it. And it's such a gentle practice. I think that that's one of the things that people are drawn to, and it's used in all different settings. It's actually used often in some of the traditional Western medical facilities for people that, you know, are going through something that is more severe. Reiki is often used in some of these settings. It's used, you know, with kids. It's used with people that are, you know, not in the best of physical health to, again, just help that energy and that life force come back into their system and bring that vitality. So I love Reiki. And it's funny that you say that. I was thinking about this yesterday too. It really is this beautiful practice that people are very much drawn to, but can often be like forgotten about and like put to the side. Like it's, you know, we kind of talk about it a little bit in energy and then the conversation kind of goes somewhere else. But yeah.
Thanks for that beautiful explanation and for sharing your background with it. And you're so right. Like it is kind of the forgotten energy healing technique. Yeah. But it's something that once you have it, it doesn't even matter if you are a practitioner or, you know, consider yourself even like spiritual or something, you can use it everywhere and your hands feel different. Mm-hmm. And you can feel when you're using it and placing it in someone else or within yourself. And it's such a beautiful thing. And I wonder maybe if with social media and the internet now, because when I did my Reiki certification, you know, there wasn't really that, we weren't so deep into this world just yet. If there's just things that are more like exciting and glamorous and, you know, algorithms take us down rabbit holes, they get more and more wild. And, you know, Reiki's kind of, it's not, aliens or something. It's just like just sweet, sweet energy that we get to tap into, right? So I'm glad that we're talking about it right now. And I definitely recommend to anyone, if you've not had a Reiki session, to go get one. Because, you know, if you have a massage that's loving touch that you can feel, it's the same thing. It's just like receiving love through the hands, and it feels so warm and beautiful. I'll share that. So I grew up also in a religious household, which I've talked about quite a bit on this podcast. But one of the things, it wasn't Catholicism, it was more like evangelical Christianity, and they believe in hands-on healing. So for me, making the jump from that to Reiki wasn't unfamiliar. And in fact, I brought my mom to like a women's healing retreat that I was co-leading a few years ago, and we were doing Reiki, and I was really kind of nervous about exposing her to some of the things that we are going to be doing in our circles. And she just took to Reiki like that because of the experience that she's had with hands-on healing. And like, she put our hands on us when we were kids and pray. So for me, even though I have, you know, my own thoughts and feelings about religion, it's that practice still felt very comfortable and soothing for me. And yeah, just receiving loving touch is a beautiful thing. I've also noticed with people who are body workers, if they have Reiki energy or they work with energy, that the session is so much more effective. And I think like, and Rashida, I'm sure you can speak to this, but intentionality in general just adds so much to like a bodywork session and presence. You can tell when somebody's just going through the motions versus like really being with you and holding space. So yeah, I love this conversation. I'll also add, I wanted to share, I was leading a retreat in Sicily last fall, and I offered one-on-one sessions with the clients who are with me. And I did a combo of Reiki and readings, because for me, all of my readings had been done online. I hadn't really like sat with people in person. So I'd put my hands on the energy centers and like just read as it was coming up and do Reiki. And it was awesome. I wish it's something I could incorporate into like my career right now. I think it's something that we'll probably have to hold off until Gemma's a bit older, and I'm able to have that like that one-on-one time with people. But yeah, I feel like Reiki just adds so much to whatever you're doing, whether it's reading, teaching yoga, massaging, etc. So thanks for letting me go off about that for a little bit.
Well, it's such a beautiful way that it can be incorporated in so many different ways. You know, sound baths is one that you might see, you know, frequently, but I can do group Reiki sessions. That's the other beautiful thing, is that you can offer this healing in a group setting as well, which is really special, like to be able to do that. And I think that it is something that I do use in my readings and in my practice consistently, but I'm, again, like you said, like it's not spoken about in the same way.
Yeah. So Kristen, I would love to go through like what a session with you looks like.
Yeah. Awesome. Well, thank you. So every session is different and unique to the person, but I would say that, you know, I have kind of some like general, you know, structure to every type of reading. So usually for me, I have the energy of the person kind of shows up for me before the reading. And I know that for both of you, that also happened. But so usually the energy will come to me before I start. And often I'll get like intuitive hits before we even really begin the session. And so I will, you know, kind of make space for that before every reading, as I kind of, you know, plan for that to happen, knowing that that's kind of what happens for my readings. And so I will, depending on what's happening for the person, I will get messages. I might connect with like an oracle card or a tarot card for them, or it could be a crystal, or it could be a combination. It's really what's, you know, coming forward, what spirit wants me to, you know, see and hear and understand is happening. And so I will, you know, start that process. And then when I do live readings, for me, I do my readings a little bit different. I really like this, especially for moms, to try to take this as a moment of sacred pause. And so, you know, there are certainly, everybody has different practices and how they do their readings. But for me, this really is about connecting with yourself. And so for you to fully receive and really be in that state, I think it's important to have that slow down period. So there's, you know, essentially a time in the reading where I'm doing the reading and I encourage the client to just, you know, meditate or rest or just be in a still state, whatever is working for them, because everybody is different. But, you know, trying not to, you know, be doing a bunch of different things, not filling the time with other stuff, but to really slow down and connect with themselves. And so I encourage that for my live readings. And so the reading happens while they're doing that. And so for me, on the other side, what I'm doing is I'm doing a lot of different things. And again, it's guided by spirit and each person is a little bit different. But generally, how every reading works is I do an energy reading. So I read your chakras. And Reiki really helps with that as well. Kind of what you were touching upon, Lauren, is I actually do mine a little bit different. It's a little bit of a mixture of if you've had a medical intuitive reading, I actually go into the energy itself and I go into each chakra. And so I'm actually sitting in the chakra itself and my experience is looking outwards. So I'm within the chakra and I am sensing the energy of that energy point. And usually I will get visuals during that experience. And so the visuals could be metaphoric, so kind of interpretation based, or they could be actual remembrance or experiences that have been imprinted and are being carried by the person. And so I will go through each chakra and do kind of an energy reading of that person's personal energy. And usually during that time and kind of, you know, when I was connecting before, there is like this overall energetic message that comes through. So there might be some bigger messages that are coming through. And just like, you know, with Reiki, I'm sensing what's happening. If there's a chakra that feels out of balance, it feels too big, it's too small, the color is coming out really bright, I am once again knowing that there is messages and maybe some healing that needs to happen. So I am focusing my attention on that. And then what I will do is I usually like to leave the person in kind of a little bit of an energetic blanket, is the best way to describe it. So spirit guides are there, the team is there. And so I will usually leave the person in kind of a protective place. So they might be bubbled and or they might have some sort of kind of like energetic protective blanket over them. And I usually have their support team, so their spirit guides, angels, whomever is coming through, remain. And then I actually journey onto the Akashic Records. And so the Akashic Records is this, you know, energetic library of everything that's ever happened, is happening, or will happen, memories, thoughts, processes, past lives, everything. And this is part of, you know, what we train together to do is do this whole process. And so I will go to the Akashic Records, go to the room for the person. There's a keeper. So I greet the keeper. I go through, you know, kind of a whole process leading up to that. And I will go to the room. And for me, I'm reading energy all the way through. So every piece of the journey that I am going through, that I am visualizing, is part of the medicine, is part of the messages that are coming through. So I am seeing, you know, a different door, a different key. I am seeing different pieces in your room. Each room looks completely different. It's unique to you. So Lauren's room and Rashida's room are completely different. It is the true print, like blueprint of your soul. It is everything that your soul has collected over every lifetime that it has existed. And so it's such a beautiful experience every time because it's different. And it really is just so representative of this person's soul, their journey, and I honestly love it. I feel so excited and alive every time I do a reading. And so in the room for that person, I ask for the book of messages and different things will come through, you know, channeled messages will come through, or I might be shown something that I need to kind of dive into a little bit and understand. But then I, you know, kind of wrap things up and I have a whole process with that. And we come back and I come back with the client and we walk through everything. And so as we kind of walk through these things and talk through it, additional things might come in. There might be kind of some more, you know, layers that begin to flesh out as the conversation happens. And yeah, and that's kind of where the reading happens, the magic happens.
I'd have to say when I got my reading from you, it was beautiful, first and foremost, but also secondly, you know, y'all are talking about Reiki and energy and, you know, Kirsten, for you, you talked about having that sacred pause. And I think it's so important because as I was sitting, being read by you on my end, there was this, like this flush of like energy that came around me. And when we had our talk, you were like, you know what? Your energy was kind of, I needed to bring it down a little bit. So I put you in this cocoon and I'm like, oh my goodness, that's exactly what I was feeling. And so I really love how that came together. And it's also just affirming anyway. I know when we're in this space, like we believe, you know, we believe and we know, we feel, we have the experience. And sometimes, someone who's new stepping into something like this is just like, but is it real? Is it not real? But I would say if you are looking to get a reading, something very, I don't want to say like your reading is gentle, but I just felt very gentle. I felt very held. I didn't feel, you know, like shocked. Sometimes I've gotten readings and I'm like, my inner just feels shocked. You were very loving and compassionate in your reading. And then how you suggested things and talked to me through my reading was amazing. And a lot of the things that you picked up on were crazy, you know, talking about my women's circles and connecting more with that. I just think it was spot on and you're amazing. You're really great at what you do. So for any of our listeners who are looking to get a reading, Kirsten just has this energy about her. That's just, you just feel very held and very safe. So definitely, check that out if you're interested, if it's pinging for you. How about you, Lauren? I know you said you got a reading from Kirsten too.
Yeah, I agree. It was very gentle and calm. And I'll be honest, like usually when I receive readings, I have a hard time fully soaking it in as it's happening and I need to go back and listen. So I think I'm at the point right now where I've had enough space where I need to go back and listen because I notice, especially with anything that's a little more symbolic or I don't want to say vague, but just isn't like, you know,
this is what it is. Yeah.
Yeah. That my brain starts to really like search for whatever that might be. And then I'm not as present, as I could be if I would just like be open-minded and not try to like make everything make sense as I'm receiving it. So I know I'm going to go back and Kirsten sent a recording. I'm going to go back and listen and really, soak it in. I love that we have that technology available to us because I find I do that with pretty much every reading I receive and I get different insights later on. So, I really loved it. I'd love to know for you, Kirsten, in your bio, you talk about helping people align with their essence mm-hmm. and then to live a more beautiful and purposeful life. And for you, when you're talking about someone's essence, do you picture it or visualize it or feel it as their Akashic Records room?
So, first of all, thank you, you guys, for those beautiful words. I really, that, it feels amazing. And, it was such a pleasure to read for both of you. So I categorize, you know, reading energy kind of in one bucket. And so there's different ways to read energy. And a lot of modalities that people are familiar with, you know, tarot cards, Reiki, you know, intuitive readings, Akashic records, you know, chakras. Those are all ways to read energy. And so connecting with someone's essence for me is a little bit different in my experience. And so I actually have a different, like, direct connection. So if I'm reading someone's energy and reading their chakras, that is like an energy reading. Whereas I actually can have a direct connection with their soul or their essence separately. And so I do visualize it. I do see it. And so, you know, there's no, it's, you can't really give it like a description. It's, you know, it's not one of those things that can be really materialized into words because it's not material. It is actually not material at all. It's something that's outside of the material world. And so when I'm connecting with someone's essence or their soul, first of all, it depends if they want to. So this is, you know, this is an invitation, a mutual kind of agreement. And so if they are open and they want to, they will show up and they will allow that to happen. It's not something that I force or, you know, try to draw out. It is something that happens, you know, in a natural, fluid way. And I would say most of the time they do, like, they're looking for that connection. And so I actually am able to engage in like a direct conversation. It's a very much of this, you know, kind of back and forth conversation. Whereas reading energy, there's this interpretation that's happening, right? So it would be like having a conversation versus, you know, I'm reading text and I have to interpret what the text means or says. And so there is a slight difference for me in my readings. And when I connect with this soul, usually it's very direct. They are very direct. They have things to say and they want to get it out immediately. And so usually those messages are already tied to what the energy is saying, like what has come through in the energy reading. And sometimes the connection happens at the beginning, sometimes it happens at the end. It just kind of depends on the layers, because once again, you know, we are energetic beings. And so when we layer energy on top of energy, it can take a minute to get down. Okay. So if somebody has, let's say they're new into energy work and they've never had a reading and they've never had a healing, well, there's some layers there to get through. And so some stuff has to kind of get, you know, shaken off and dispelled and, you know, cleared out and healed to kind of get down into the other layers. And so unless there's something that's very direct and needs to happen, there's a bit of that shedding process that needs to begin before we go to that next level. And so it is a little different than just reading energy. It is a bit more of this like one-on-one direct channeling conversation that's happening.
Yeah, that's really interesting. And honestly, it's nice. It's nice to have that directness, because the symbols are great, but sometimes it's like, I don't know what this means. I'm just going to say this to you. Hopefully it resonates.
Lauren, that has been our thing. I feel like that was us always. We're like, this came through, but I have no idea what this means. Does it mean anything to you?
Yeah. And sometimes it totally does, you know, and it is a shock to me. I'm like, I don't know what this bear in a cave means, but oh yeah, that was a real example on the show. But yeah, it's funny all the different ways to communicate, and I don't know. I think everyone gets what they need. And I love that you have developed that specific methodology, because that's not something that we were taught. It's just something obviously that has come through really naturally for you. So I love that. And I also, this resonated with me a lot, I said, but the beautiful and purposeful life. What is a beautiful life, and how do you help people connect to that?
Well, you know, I think that... We're going to go back to where we started. This is about you. You know, this is about you and your journey. So what is beautiful and purposeful to you? you know, what is beautiful and purposeful to me is not necessarily the same thing. And so I think that we are coming back to where we started, which is about that deep connection with self and understanding what is beautiful and purposeful for you. And so I think that, you know, the word purpose is used a lot, right? It's used very consistently out in the spiritual world, and it can feel big and heavy at times. It can feel, you know, overused at times. But I think that what we have to always remember is kind of going back to that conversation that people, experiences, everything that we have gone through in life is adding to our purpose. And what is purposeful in that moment is adding to that journey to get to the destination. And so, yes, we have these, you know, kind of bigger overarching purposes, but my purpose in this lifetime is not the same as yours. And it's not even necessarily the same on a day-to-day basis. And so I think that there's purpose and intention in everything that we have in our life. And being able to connect with that and connect with ourselves and what resonates for us personally, I think is what I mean by living a beautiful and purposeful life. It's your life. It's you. How do I get you to be you? That's what I want. I want you to be you. I want you to live in your authenticity, your true self.
I think for me, when you said that, and even when you were talking about your story in the beginning, the biggest thing that came up for me out of like both of those moments was like, one, the space and the stillness. I think sometimes we have a hard time, especially if we're new on this journey, like knowing what that even feels like, knowing that I don't need to like, you know, create things to like fill my time. That's very much what our society is like. Oh, I have an opening at this. Like, let me do this. Let me meet up with friends. Let me have this. Let me go here. Oh, I need to, you know, it's all about like filling up our time and not creating space. And so I think when you work with someone, you know, like you, Kirsten, or me, or Lauren, we are helping you create that time for yourself to not just, you know, to take it and to sit in stillness maybe, and to just sit in silence maybe, and take it and reflect upon it. But, you know, that is that like wedge to kind of get you in that space of now is the time for you, and to really start reflecting on what it is to be you. Who are you? What are you here for? What do you stand for? What is important? Because a lot of these other things that we fill our time with can seem like so important, right? But it's not until we take that moment and like really go inward. And that's really like what I know we're about, is really going in with our clients and creating that those moments for them to self-reflect and to take a step back.
Yes. Beautiful. Exactly. That's what these readings are about, is holding space, creating spaciousness, reconnecting with ourselves. And I'm sure you guys have experienced this too. Most of the time when we do readings, you know, there are maybe a few things that come, you know, as new and fresh, but a lot of times the person's like, yeah, I already knew that. It's validation. It's that like creation of space to sit there and be like, I knew that, and somebody just told me the same thing, and now I cannot turn away from it, you know? And so It's again, creating that space for yourself and believing in yourself. I think that that is, oh, such a big part of, you know, our society is constantly putting trust in things outside of ourselves. And so we are, like what you said, Rashida, is like filling our time and our space with, you know, things, externalities, like external activities, external, you know, whatever it is. Whereas this work is about coming back to you. It's about making time and space for you. It's about reconnecting to you. And there is so much space within you if you allow there to be.
What I love, Kirsten, is that you have been through it all and you're walking the walk. So, of course, you're a wonderful guide for others to go through the same process, hopefully without needing like a huge shakeup in their lives.
Yes, it doesn't always happen the way that it happens for me. There are plenty of people that don't leave their jobs, don't leave their professions. They don't have, you know, these huge pivots, but they're able to really find that purpose and meaning in what they're doing
right now. Yeah. Or if they do find the big crash, like, you're there just to help them. And Kirsten, please let our besties know how they can find you and how they can work with you.
Yeah. So you can find me on Instagram. I'm the_soulbabe, and my website is soulbabe.com. And you can book readings through Instagram. I have my links there or through my website. And I offer one-on-one readings. I offer healings and Reiki. And I also do coaching. So, you know, it's kind of personalized, but essentially a lot of what we talked about today and creating a specialized kind of guidance for the client. And I have a special reading for moms where we do the reading, but we also have like a healing aspect to it. And once again, it's like creating that sacred pause and having some time for yourself, nourishing yourself, which is so important in motherhood, is giving back to ourselves. We are the sun in our universe, and we have to be able to stay lit through that time, the hard times. And so recentering, creating space, having a place to talk, you know, honestly, there can be times where we just feel like we need to share. And I will do the reading and I will see things and we will talk about it, but also to, again, have that validation, to be able to share freely without judgment, to have a compassionate conversation. That reset can really help us on the journey. So, yeah.
Do you want to ask the final question, Rashida?
I do. And I already know the answer, but... Kirsten, will you be our bestie?
Yes, please. Yes. Thank you for choosing me.
Yes, of course. Yes, we love having so many besties that are just has so much wisdom and, you know, reflection and, you know, stepping back from like the go, go, go of every day and really getting deep. And that's what we love to do. Lauren and I love doing that all the time, getting deep. We're like, we don't have time for this today, but we're going to do it. But thank you for coming on, sharing your wisdom, and being here and just sharing a little piece of you with our besties. We appreciate you being here with us today.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. This is so beautiful.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much, Kirsten. Thank you, Rashida. Thank you, besties. We will chat soon.
Bye. Thank you so much for joining us for this incredible episode. If you loved it, don't forget to subscribe, leave a review, and tell all your besties about us.
You can also connect with us on Instagram at Your Spiritual Besties Podcast. And be sure to say hello and share your thoughts about the episode. Love you, bestie. Talk soon.